Stream free on SBS On Demand. The Hospital in the Deep End. Our hospitals are under pressure like never before.
Oh my God.
And when the system buckles, we all pay the price.
That's not good.
In this landmark series, three notable Australians step onto the front line to see what it really takes to save a life.
I honestly didn't think it was like that.
The Hospital in the Deep End. Stream free on SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS News.
South Australia votes to elect its 56th Parliament on Saturday, the 21st of March. YouGov's final poll ahead of the election showed Labour is on track to secure its highest ever two-party preferred vote in the state party's history, while the Liberals faced their worst result to date. One Nation, however, is at 22%. SBS Chief Political Correspondent Anna Henderson has spoken with South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas about his hopes for the election and what he thinks of Pauline Hanson.
Firstly, Premier Malinauskas, thanks for joining SBS World News.
Thanks for having me, Anna.
Can I first ask you, given these concerns around the shortages of diesel in particular, but fuel in regional areas, do you think that there is a case for fuel rationing?
Well, all the advice that we are getting from the federal government, but also from fuel distributors and suppliers, is that no, there isn't at this point in time, simply because we're seeing all of the scheduled arrivals of all the major fuels coming into Australia arriving on time as scheduled in the quantities that were ordered. And until there is a change to those circumstances, there is no logical need for that. Having said that, we continue to engage with the Commonwealth, monitor the situation closely and act on, you know, the level of government's advice, who is responsible for this, and that of course is the federal government.
You have an enormous spread out community of people who rely heavily on the agricultural industry, including of course that amazing harvest that occurs in South Australia. Have you had to set aside a contingency for potential emergency financial support if this goes on for more than the next couple of weeks?
Well, thankfully, our budget surpluses here in South Australia put the government in the position to be able to respond to crises as they emerge, whether it be what we've had to do with the drought, the algal bloom, the biggest floods in South Australia since 1956, the wireless steelworks. So we stand ready to respond if there is a necessity to do so. Having said that, what's important for regional communities is just to get the diesel. We've had some magnificent rain in South Australia in the last couple of weeks, which sets up this year nicely, and we want to make sure seeding occurs at the times that farmers want to be able to do that. And that's why the fuel supplies that are coming into the country need to be distributed as quickly as possible. And if everyone consumes diesel in the same way they ordinarily would in regional communities, there should be no incapacity for people to be able to do the work as they intend.
You sat around that National Cabinet table virtually yesterday. We understand there was a worst case scenario that Treasury has been considering. How bad is it? What should Australians be bracing for?
Look, all the advice is, as I've made clear, that all of the fuel that is scheduled to arrive in Australia has been, and in the foreseeable future will. Now, of course, this is a global challenge. It's very hard for one to predict what will happen to the war into the future for obvious reasons. So it's prudent for the federal government to plan accordingly. Having said that, the very clear and consistent, I might add, formal position of the federal government that is backed up to by the information we are receiving from fuel distributors and suppliers ourselves that we've verified is that, you know, over the foreseeable future, you know, right through to May, there is no problem that the government intends to see or foreshadows that we'll see.
There are many communities in South Australia that would be directly impacted by what they're seeing in the Middle East. They may have family there, friends, and of course links to the region. Are you concerned about the way this conflict is playing out for your constituents?
Well, wherever we see war, we see consequences. And we're seeing that when someone fills up their car with petrol at the moment, or of course, you know, worst case scenario, they have a loved one who's in harm's way, either stuck in an airport or in the region themselves. I just want to make, you know, my thoughts are with those people. We know that DFAT is working around the clock to make sure that those Australians who want to get home are able to do so, which is of course, you know, the clear advice to Australians in the region is to best as possibly to get out of the region and to get somewhere safer. And I hope people are able to do that as quickly as possible.
Premier, why do you think One Nation has gained such a foothold in SA?
Well, let's wait and see how it plays out on the day. Certainly polls indicate that they're surging and, you know, on the conservative side of politics, there is a fracturing that is occurring. That's and I don't dismiss the possibility that there'll be some Labor voters who will look to One Nation. I think what really matters is two things. First thing is that serious parties of government have serious policy for the future of the state. Immigration's not on the ballot here. Who runs the state is. And on Sunday morning, when I wake up, I'll be waking up in South Australia, regardless of the election result. Pauline Hanson will be back in Queensland. And it's important that South Australians appreciate that this is serious stuff. Their vote matters. And the complete and utter policy vacuum from One Nation seems to suggest they're not actually serious about making a difference, whereas I and my team are, and that's why we've got plans for the future of South Australia.
Well, you ran on a platform last time around of dealing with ramping in the hospital system. One Nation does have a policy on that. They want to see non-emergency patients freed up from those beds so that they can go to people who are coming out of an ambulance. Are you acting on that?
Well, we have been for 4 years. Record investments in health infrastructure, hundreds and hundreds of new hospital beds coming online. We committed we'd employ an extra 100 doctors above attrition. We've employed 600, 300 nurses. We got to 1,400 extra nurses, 300 additional ambulance officers. What matters here is that we have a plan to grow the hospital system as we see an ageing of the population, which is what we are already doing. Now, while we haven't got ramping down as much as what we would have liked, it is also true to say that we have got ambulances rolling up on time. This time 4 years ago, people were dying waiting for an ambulance because the ambulance was getting there late 2 out of 3 occasions for a life-threatening emergency. Now we've completely turned it around so that they're rolling up 2 out of 3 occasions on time. That's the difference between life and death. We want to continue that work, but we're able to do that if we're elected to government.
You've labelled migration a federal issue, but it is one that One Nation has campaigned on strongly in South Australia. So is there a message that your government and the federal government has to heed about the way Australia's migration system is operating?
Well, of course, our migration system has to be controlled and well calibrated. My focus is making sure that our housing policy aligns whatever the federal government does on immigration. And on housing policy, there is things that states can do, which is why we've outlined a massive program about housing. We've already made a huge amount of difference in the housing market in South Australia. We've now got the fastest housing construction rate in the country, the fastest growing construction rate in the country, and we want to double down on that, which is why we've got a big housing policy. Now, One Nation's housing policy, if you go looking for it, good luck. You won't find it. We hear crickets from serious policy solutions from One Nation on housing, whereas we've actually got a serious plan. And that's the difference. Because if you don't have a policy, you're a pretender. And it's very easy for One Nation to observe the problem. My job is to deliver solutions. And while my government isn't perfect, we have done an awful lot to get this state up and running, to get it firing. And we want to be able to continue that work.
They are also concerned about the voice to Parliament. So is the Liberal Party. So again, I ask that question, even though you have a majority and you may come out of this poll with the same or an increased majority, do you have to heed the message from those parties and the voters that support them about whether or not the voice to Parliament should continue in its current form?
Okay, two things I'd say to that. Actually, there's quite a few things I'd like to say about it. First one is that the Liberal Party seem to be chopping and changing their policy on the voice to Parliament, depending on the political winds. The Leader of the Opposition did not oppose the voice to Parliament when it was voted on in the Parliament. One Nation, well, they've been consistent in their opposition. What I would say is this. The one thing I think people want from their politicians now more than anything else is authenticity and honesty. And I believe that the voice can have a positive role to play. We've had it in place now in South Australia for a few years. It hasn't offended anyone. It's actually looking at saving the taxpayer money rather than costing it through thoughtful policy advice that's offered the government. When they've come into the parliament to offer their speech, has been respectful, considered, doesn't bind anyone to anything. And I think, you know, the position of One Nation just doesn't accord with the reality of how it operates here. Now, they're entitled to their position, and I'm entitled to the government's position. And, you know, I believe in it as a matter of principle. I don't think it's a bad thing. And, you know, and we've been honest about that from the start. It was a policy I took to the last election and delivered upon. So this is an example of us honouring our commitments, and, you know, we're comfortable with that.
Given the energy debate that has permeated this campaign, I mean, One Nation in particular wants to see nuclear energy back on the table. You've had various positions on this over the past few years. What's your position now? Do you think there should be a renewed debate publicly and nationally about whether there should be a fresh look at nuclear energy?
I've been consistent about nuclear energy from well before I was in the parliament. I believe that nuclear energy has an important role to play in the effort to decarbonise globally. The only question for Australia in my mind is it economic? That's the only question. Will nuclear energy bring power prices down or up, put them up in Australia? And all of the evidence, all of the research, all of the analysis says the same thing. Nuclear power in the context of the Australian energy market doesn't work and drive prices up. So why would we do it? Why would we do it if it was going to drive prices up? It just doesn't make sense.
But if the economic argument changed, would you have a different view?
Yeah, if the economics changed, then it would change the considerations, absolutely. And I've been consistent about this. But there's no suggestion that's going to happen anytime soon. So let's focus on what we do know. Renewable energy, when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing, is the cheapest form of power that you can get. So I say more of that. And when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing, the best source of energy to back that up or to firm the grid is gas-fired generation, which is why we have a state strategic gas reserve policy in the South Australian government, because I believe in the role of gas as a transition fuel and to back up renewables. It's a far better way to go than burning coal for decarbonisation, but also price. So that's why we have that policy and we've been consistent about that from the get-go.
Final question, Premier. Comparative to last election, what is the difference that One Nation and their platform and their engagement in this election, what difference has that had on this campaign?
Every campaign is different. Every campaign has unexpected presentations throughout the course of the campaign, and this one's no different. One Nation are surging around the country. You know, it's taken a while for populism to arrive at the shores of the Australian democratic process, but now it's here. And it's worthy of consideration, careful thought. I guess from my perspective, I focus on what I'm here to do. And that's to make a difference in my state. The place that I call home, that I raise my children in, that a place that has more economic potential before it than pretty much anywhere else in the country, and actually turning that economic potential into improved living standards and then having a plan to do it. You know, that's what I can do for my state, for the people that live here. Pauline Hanson, like I said, on Sunday morning when the election's over, she's back on a plane back to Queensland. I'll be here ready to make a difference. And if we focus on that, then we focus on outcomes and what the democratic process should be about.
Just a cheeky one, are you planning to end up in Canberra eventually with a federal seat?
Look, I've been asked this a few times. The answer's no. I genuinely believe I can make the biggest possible difference by doing this job. And if I'm given the opportunity by the people of the state this weekend to do that, I'll continue to work my guts out. Won't be perfect, but I do believe we can make a difference for the better, as we've been able to do over the course of the last 4 years.
Thank you. starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.